Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to FRAD Accessible Cinema, FRAD's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. And in this new episode, we will know more about digital access and inclusion in the audiovisual field. But what's more, this month, we celebrate the 10th anniversary of Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which aims to highlight the importance of accessibility, and people around the world come together to bridge the accessibility gap by raising awareness and global standards. And today, we want to help spread the word to increase everyone's knowledge and understanding with this episode of Accessible Cinema. As you'll know, FRAD has always been committed to accessibility and social inclusion. So if you want to know more about the past, the present, and the future of media accessibility, well, stay with us. We'll be back soon with our special guests.
FRAD Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
Welcome back to FRAD Accessible Cinema. This new episode is dedicated to the new challenges, but also opportunities for all of us in terms of accessibility and inclusion. So to know more about that, we are going to listen to some excerpts from FRAD interviews with very special guests. The first one is Pilar Orero, full professor of audiovisual translation at the Universitat Autonoma de Barcelona. She will tell us more about the past and the present of media accessibility and of the projects focusing on media accessibility. And speaking of projects, we will know more about the RAD and EZIT projects with Anna Matamala, main researcher of Transmedia Catalonia. Finally, with Lucinea Villela, who is Media Accessible, a Traduzao Audiovisual Research Group's coordinator and main researcher, we will trace the fascinating history of audio description in Brazil, where women play a key role. And we will know more about Brazilian accessibility film festivals.
FRAD Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
Speaking of past and present, Pilar, where is media accessibility right now, in your opinion?
That's very interesting, because at the very beginning, media accessibility was very much a clinical issue. So we looked at who were the audience, and the audience were either deaf people or it was blind people or low-sighted, deaf and hard of hearing. It was that we focused on who was the person, who was the audience, and who was the audience thinking in these clinical terms. Mm-hmm. So you were either deaf or you were blind. Mm-hmm. There was no possibility if you being old, for example. Mm-mm-mm. There was no the possibility of you being a tourist in Japan, that even though you hear and you read, you can't understand anything that is written, or you can't understand anything that is said, because I don't speak or read Japanese. So
yes, of course.
I was both deaf and blind, though I could hear and read. So this clinical approach very quickly stopped being a clinical approach, because also, I don't know if I can say that we made a mistake in that, because we started at the university very fast testing with this type of audiences. So we looked who for our tests only for blind people, or we would get deaf or hard of hearing people to test, for example, reading speed. Mm-hmm. And to test reading speed, what we had to choose really was people who could read or not read, not people who were blind. Or who were deaf.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So the reading is a category, or is a label that is detached, or should be detached, from you being blind, unless you cannot.
Of course. It's so something that was universal, we can say. I mean,
exactly. So we should have really gone for choosing the audience for the tests on reading abilities, not on hearing issues.
On sensorial disabilities, let's say.
Exactly. Mm-mm-mm. So that was to me, that was one of the, and I am criticizing myself. To me, that was one of my biggest mistakes, is that we straight away chose the audience by clinical labels. This has gone a lot. I think quite a number of scholars now is no longer labeling who is our audience by that.
Yeah.
And for, definitely for us at the university, this is the biggest change we've had in the last, say, 3 years, because funding is no longer for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. The funding that we get now to do research from Europe is very much in a very wide spectrum of who is the end user.
Yeah, I'm thinking of migrants, for example.
Well, you just put the finger. So now, for example, we have three projects right now. One is called So Close, the other one is Rebuild, and the other one is Traction. And these three projects look at accessibility, but not as accessibility as the object of a study. So we don't study accessibility. Accessibility is now a way, the means to give access to people to whatever. And people is, in this case, is for refugees or for migrants who can also be blind or deaf or whatever. And they have different reading abilities because, of course, they speak a different language or they read a different alphabet. So it is quite interesting how the focus of the funding is moved from accessibility itself to
people. To people.
Exactly. In a wider scale. So that's to me a big shift.
Red Film Radio.
Accessible cinema.
The RED project is a 3-year project funded by the Spanish Ministry of Science, Innovation and Universities. It started in 2019 and will continue until until the end of this year. And what we are doing, basically, this project, we've gathered all the expertise in our research team, and we approach audio description from different perspectives. And you'll see, it's a bit different, all the things that we are doing, but in the end, they make sense. So on the one hand, we are analyzing audio description delivery, okay? Mm-hmm. So the prosodic features of audio description, voice in audio description. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, we are analyzing the creation of audio description. And in this case, we focus on the translation between languages which are a bit under research. So into Chinese, for instance.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because we've got experts in Chinese in our group. So we've tried to put, as I said, all the expertise in this project. And then we've got two different case studies. On the one hand, we've got Karma Manjiron leading all the research on video games and audio description. And then on the other hand, we've got Miguel Edo leading all the research on opera and audio description. As you can see, those are very two different case studies. Exactly. But with all these different elements, so delivery, creation, opera and video game, I think will generate new knowledge about the audio description. Is it project? Is an Erasmus Plus project that I'm leading? And basically the idea behind this project is, okay, there is this concept of easy language, easy to read, plain language. What if we transfer this concept into audiovisual media access services? Can we have easy to understand audio descriptions? Can we have easy to understand subtitles? Can we have easy to understand audiovisual media? So this project has researched this, but the main focus has been on producing training materials. And then at the end of the project in August, all the materials, all these videos will be available again in open access for anyone to use.
That's really interesting. If I'm not wrong, as open educational resources, that's correct.
Exactly. That's as you see, we are working a lot with this concept of open access. We get public funding, so we try to, you know, offer to society, to trainers, to everybody, the results of our projects.
In a more flexible way. That's interesting.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Red Film Radio.
Accessible cinema.
Lucinea, I know that you have been researching audiovisual resources applied to Brazilian web series, for example, short documentaries and music videos. So I was wondering, how did everything start? I mean, why did you decide to deal with media accessibility, Lucinea?
Well, I started my academic career in 1997, a long time ago, as a professor of translation and translation theory. After many years, in 2010, I was invited to teach audiovisual translation in an university. And when I was preparing the discipline, I found out many articles related to audio description and subtitling for deaf people. So those areas had a huge impact in the way I think and I thought translation at that time, and its transformation power inside a society. It was, for me, a turning point as a translator, as a citizen in my country, and as a researcher. So since 2010, I decided to focus all my research on media accessibility. And another important impact in my life, it was in 2013 that I decided to create a research group focused on audiovisual translation and media accessibility.
Oh, that's great.
After that, I just focus my ideas, research, energy in accessibility.
And I was thinking about the title of your presentation at ARSA 2021, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description. And the title was Brazilian Women in Audio Description, 20 Years of History. I know that audio description in Brazil is relatively new, we can say, both academic and professionally speaking. So, first of all, Lucinea, can you tell us more about the Brazilian context related to media accessibility in general and then to audio description in particular?
Yeah. In Brazil, as you mentioned, the audio description, the media accessibility is new, and audio description in particularly appeared for the first time in 2000 when Isabel Machado started audio describing cultural events in Campinas, near São Paulo. And then we had other important and kind of landmark that event that was a film festival with live audio descriptions in every sessions in Rio de Janeiro. And after these two big events and two important events in Brazil, many researchers and many people involved in cinema and in dubbing decided to study audio description to apply to theater, opera, big events like Carnival.
So live events, mainly live events.
And after 2000, audio description has been studied inside postgraduate courses, mainly in applied linguistics programs. And after, it appears as a topic of audiovisual translation discipline in some universities. Another important thing is see how the broadcasters and the open TV faces all the descriptions. Nowadays, we only have kind of act or a law, federal law, that imposes 12 hours a week of audio description in open TV. So it's a very low percentage, but on the other hand, professionals on audio descriptions are working hard in other contexts, like streaming, museums, galleries, theaters, education, and then we have all the description applied to
And Lucinia, are there many companies specializing in accessibility in Brazil?
I can say that there are at least one in each region, because Brazil is very large and yeah. it's divided in five regions mm-hmm. from north up to south. Mm-hmm. And then in every region nowadays, we have at least one company dealing with media accessibility.
Huh. And what about film festivals in Brazil? Because I know that there is mm-hmm. a company specializing in audio description in Brazil that produced the first Brazilian film festival on accessibility in 2003.
Yeah.
Is it correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This company is from Rio de Janeiro mm-hmm. and it's called Lavoro Produções. Mm-hmm. And they presented the first film festival with audio description in 2003. Mm-hmm. And every year, not every year, it's biannual, mm-hmm. They present again the film festival. So it's very important. And also we have another company in Porto Alegre that there is a company that produces all the description for Festival de Gramado. That's another very important film festival in Brazil.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I also know that, of course, the carnival is audio described. Is it correct?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's an event that is outstanding and amazing. Everybody knows about that. But the first time that it was auto described, it was in Rio de Janeiro. And the same company that auto described the film festival in Rio de Janeiro auto described Carnival mm-hmm. for at least five times, because it depends on the funding of the city hall in yeah. Rio de Janeiro. So some years they don't offer funding, some other years they offer. And then there are some professionals that work with the description in Rio de Janeiro and in the last 2 years in São Paulo too, uh-huh. but with another auto describer and another company, a different company.
But is it live or is it pre-recorded? I mean, is it live audio description? Is it pre-recorded audio description? How does it work?
No, it must be live, because uh-huh. I don't know if everybody knows about the secret, the schools, the scholars, the sambas, they don't show anything before the day of the parade, the okay. carnival, because it's a competition. And then the other describers receive the script and the description mm-hmm. and some historical script one day beforehand, mm-hmm. not more than that. So they prepare in a live mm-hmm. format, but they have a separate place, it's a mini studio to prepare and to present during 2 days live audio description, and it's amazing. I have some record about related to it, and if you watch it, you cry a lot, because it's very exciting and moving.
Wow, that's really interesting. And speaking of audio description, Lucinea, what about Brazilian women in audio description? What is their role? Why is their role so important?
Yeah, they are the pioneers of audio descriptions in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And their roles are definitely important, because they are protagonists from the beginning up to now, and they're responsible for historical landmarks, because they provided first time all the descriptions for almost everything: mm-hmm. film festival, theater, opera, movie sessions, carnival, academic publications, all the description training. Mm-hmm. So everything you think, they produced all the descriptions. So I decided to research about them and organizing research with interviews.
And what did you find out?
Well, up to now, I interviewed 4 pioneers, mm-hmm. and one thing is very remarkable. All of them produced more live, all the descriptions for live events mm-hmm. than pre-record. Oh. They have theoretical influences, even though they came from market. They studied a lot before producing all the description. And their theoretical influence are from United States, England, Portugal, Spain, Brazil. Another important thing that I found out interviewing them is that they consider themselves professionals in all the description, but at the same time, they don't see accessibility and all the description only as a business. They don't think and they don't focus only on money. Mm-hmm. And because they think all the description is a social work, most of all. Mm-hmm. And also, their emphasis are most of the time on users, because all of them have support of consultants, mm-hmm. and they have a strict relation with blind audience and institution that offer support for the user.
Yeah, like
people,
associations for the blind yeah. and partially sighted people, etc.
Yeah. So I'm starting it, this research, because as I told you, Brazil is huge and I have to prepare beforehand, of course, the interviews, and we can, we just do it remotely since last year, mm-hmm. but in the future I will prepare a platform with the results. I'm thinking about preparing a short documentary in the future about
of course with audio description and
but I mean in the beginning
many people say that women in audio description in Brazil have provoked a huge cultural revolution. I was wondering, why do we have women as pioneers, audio describers in Brazil, instead of men? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. And I asked them, and some of them answered me that they think like mothers, like an instinct mm-hmm. that mothers used to have that is related to protect people, protect minority, mm-hmm. protect children that need assistance mm-hmm. and this kind of things.
Red Film Radio.
Accessible cinema.
We have just listened to Pilar Orero, Anna Matamala, and Lucinea Villela. Together, we have looked at media accessibility from different angles, from the perspective of users, researchers, legislators, practitioners, women, film festival organizers, companies, and many more. And we, of course, discuss the complexities of an evolving mediascape. So if you want to keep track of how the media accessibility field is changing, don't miss our next episode of Accessible Cinema. Meanwhile, you can visit Media Accessibility Platform's website, mapaccess.org, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history and the state of the art of research, policies, training, practices, and conferences in the field of media accessibility. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
Red Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theater performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.